no helicopters have been procured for me to go to golf course. Thank you.
I've never said he wasn't a great politician. I'm just saying he's a cop.
He's listening to you.
How'd you play out there today?
Well, I found the conditions challenging, mostly because there's no grass on the golf course, but there never has been.
I'm thinking about the swag bag, and I have high hopes for the swag bag.
When you got three crevices on the green, your course is transient.
What is happening, folks? Welcome back to the Beltway Golfer Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Dixon. This is episode 93. This episode is all about what is going on with the DC public golf courses, East Potomac Golf Links, Langston Golf Course, and Rock Creek Park Golf Course, as it pertains to the Trump administration and National Links Trust, and who will have control of these golf courses going into the future. We've got Barry Zvrugla of the Washington Post joining the podcast. He only had about 20 minutes or so. So I'm going to extend this intro a little bit before we get to the conversation with Barry Zvrugla to kind of set the table on where we're at. But it being Christmas week, it was hard to get a couple guests to chat about it, but I was really appreciative of Barry coming on to take a few minutes. So before we get to that conversation, let's set where we're at. Over the past few weeks, the future of these golf courses has shifted in a massive way. Rumors started to speculate several weeks ago when dirt from the East Wing of the White House started getting dumped on the white course at East Potomac Golf Links. And then those rumors and speculation were confirmed last week when the Wall Street Journal reported that the Trump administration did indeed want to take control of these golf courses and do their own thing. And that's when news came out that the administration had already issued a notice of default to the National Links Trust on their lease with the National Park Service. That notice of default was over 45 days ago, and that is the typical window where a leaseholder has to cure whatever they've been put on a notice of default for. In other words, you know, what they did wrong, and they have 45 days to correct it. Part of the issue here is National Links Trust has said they were not given any specific point within their lease or anything that they can actually do in these 45 days to actually cure that lease and satisfy the administration, which then also leads to speculation that the Trump administration simply, they just want control of these golf courses, and they maybe hired some lawyers to find any spot in the lease they could to point to that they could move National Links Trust out of the picture. The broader thing that we know is that the National Links Trust went through an RFP process with the National Park Service 5 years ago and put together a plan that, and it's all available on their website, which has plans for all three golf courses that the DC golf community, the national golf community, for the most part, all support. It's all about restoring the history and being stewards of what these golf courses mean to the local communities, whether it be East Potomac, and restoring the historical nature of the reversible golf course while keeping it a place for the community and families and young golfers to learn the game, keeping it affordable and accessible for everyone, whether it be honoring the past at Langston and the culture that exists there within the Black golf community, and turning Rock Creek Golf Course into a community-driven place where both golf fanatics and families can go and really enjoy the property and turn it into something great for everyone. What's been reported that the Trump administration wants to do sounds like something far different. You know, we don't know exactly, but we know that Tom Fazio would likely be involved. We know that they have their sights on PGA Tour events, maybe even a Ryder Cup at East Potomac. And then that turns into something extremely different. We don't know if that means lakes and waterfalls and knocking down the East Potomac clubhouse. I can't imagine that would be the plan, but we don't know. There is no plan. That's part of why this is so alarming, is there was a plan that was reviewed. There's processes. The National Links Trust. One of the main things that comes up with National Links Trust is that this has taken 5 years for them to get going in Rock Creek Park Golf, but that is in part because they're doing things the right way. They're going through the process. They're engaging with the community, the permitting process. Yes, there's a lot of bureaucratic red tape, and it's taken longer than they thought. Whatever happens with the Trump administration and them potentially taking over these golf courses, nobody really has any idea. So that is, it's concerning, but that's where we stand now. The final notice of termination literally could happen any day. So we're trying to do our part to kind of raise some awareness on it and talk about the issue. How this pertains to me personally, these are golf courses that I play all the time. Rock Creek Park Golf Course was one of kind of a triangle of golf courses I've talked about before that I played growing up in Montgomery County between Sligo Creek, Falls Road, and Rock Creek Golf Course. Those are the courses I learned how to play golf. So I've been playing Rock Creek Golf Course since I was, you know, a young teenager. As an adult, I now live in Arlington, Virginia. East Potomac Golf Course and Langston are two of the golf courses I play most frequently throughout the year. You know, if somebody asks me what my home golf course is, I don't belong to a country club. I say East Potomac every single time. You know, part of the Beltway Golfer shtick, I play golf all over the area, but at the end of the year, every year, East Potomac is where I play the most. And more important, personally, I got a 10-year-old son who learned how to play golf at East Potomac and still plays golf at East Potomac. He took classes through the first tee of DC, learned how to play golf on the red course. That's still the course we play most often. When he's hitting the ball well, we'll go out on the white, and he's even played the blue once. But that's what exists there. It's a place that you can bring your kids and they can learn how to play golf on these three different golf courses, and there's a great community there. I hope to do the same with my 4-year-old son as he's getting into golf right now. So this is this hits home for me personally, this whole issue. And it's concerning because, quite frankly, I've gotten a lot of messages since posting on Instagram about this. And the messages that seem to be in favor of this development, most of them don't come from a place of education. I mean, I've gotten messages that include everything from, it's winter time anyway. Why do we care? Nobody's playing golf out there right now. As if the Trump administration is going to come in and there's going to be a brand new golf course at East Potomac by the Masters. This is that one. I didn't even respond to. It was so out there. But a lot of, you know, God forbid the president wants to come in and make these golf courses nicer. This comes from a place of people that don't know the current situation and don't know that there is a plan in place. We all want it to move faster, but this alternative of whatever, you know, the administration has in store is not one I'm in favor of. And if you look at the broader events on what's going on, this certainly seems more likely to be a scenario where our president simply wants to take credit. He wants control. He wants to put his name on the golf courses. I mean, who knows what these would be named afterwards if they'd all have the word Trump in them and their new titles. But also the fact that if this does happen, you know, who controls the golf course? The National Park Service has always operated with a leaseholder, whether it was a concessionaire, the golf course specialist prior to National Links Trust, or now as an operator under National Links Trust, there likely would be a new organization that would be put into place. And who runs that? Is that someone affiliated with the Trump organization? Is that directly with the administration? The idea is that they would likely, if this happens, they would sign a long-term lease. Is that affiliated with, is one of the Trump children in charge of the golf courses in the new lease? They would likely sign their own 60-year lease. And we're talking about over 400 acres of National Park Service land inside our nation's capital that then the Trump organization and or the Trump family could be affiliated with or running for decades in our nation's capital. So that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but that's what we're dealing with. So it's a massive story and it's highly concerning. This is one that affects a lot of golfers in this region. So let's get to the conversation with Barry Zrugla. Before I do so, got bills myself, so I want to thank our sponsor, The Golf Yards, which is a new membership-driven golf performance center coming in the spring of 2026 to Arlington, Virginia. Go to thegolfyards.com or follow them on social media at The Golf Yards. This is going to be a high-end training center for serious golfers. TrackMan simulators throughout, indoor short game areas, well-putt putting systems, state-of-the-art workout systems. Get on their wait list. Go to thegolfyards.com. Check them out. It's going to be a great spot. That's it. Let's get to the conversation with Barry Zrugla from the Washington Post for episode 93 of the podcast. Everyone have a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and we'll talk to you in the new year. All right, Mr. Barry Zrugla, how are you?
Great. How are you, Alex?
I'm doing fantastic. First of all, thank you for taking a few minutes during a busy holiday week to join and talk about the issue going on where politics is suddenly colliding head on with our DC public golf courses. You wrote a fantastic column last week about everything that's going on, and there's been some great reporting in Washington Post and elsewhere. Why don't we start with give me your take on where everything stands now, and why you think this is such a, I mean, it's obviously a huge story, but why is the Washington Post paying so much attention?
Well, I think it's important because it represents, for those of us who live in the District of Columbia, kind of where we are in limbo all the time, having no representation and no say in some of the decisions that are made about our city. The Trump administration obviously has designs on particularly East Potomac Golf Links, which is on a great piece of property in the middle of the Potomac River. They see a lot of potential there. The president himself sees a lot of potential there. But I think that's ignoring the potential that National Links Trust, a nonprofit that has a 50-year lease to redo these courses and manage them. They have a great amount of interest. They've put a lot of sweat equity into it already. They have plans for the future. And I feel like the administration is just feels like they're ready to just elbow them aside and say, no, we're going to do it ourselves. And where does that leave those projects in the future? There are three courses here that are very important, part of the fabric of the city. Would the Trump organization run them after this administration is out? There's real questions, existential questions about public golf in the District of Columbia, which I feel like is in great hands with National Links Trust. And if they're shoved aside, what are the administration's plans? We don't really know.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to take this. I mean, I really think it's such a huge story. But what you just said is even though it's kind of the future because it hasn't happened yet, but that's the big question. Aside from should this be happening, which I think you and I are both in agreement that it should not, but what would even the plan be? I mean, I was talking with a gentleman who works at Langston just yesterday. And I said, if the Trump administration does move to terminate the lease, let's say pretend on January 1st, what happens on January 2nd? Right now, Troon management is in place. Right now, there's staff at all these golf courses. You know, what happens on day two and then further out? Is there a new organization formed that takes over a lease? What does that look like? Who is it?
Yeah. And I think there are short-term questions and long-term questions, and both are important. As somebody who plays very regularly at Langston, my short-term interest is if the administration kicks out National Links Trust, which, by the way, owns all the equipment and, you know, makes the places operational, the next day, am I going to be able to make a tee time? That's important for the everyday golfer. And you know, these places, they produce hundreds of thousands of rounds on the year. That's a huge question for people who just want to get out and play 9 or 18. The longer term questions, I think, are more important because National Links Trust and their founders, Mike McCartan and Will Smith, are adamant that what we want to prove with these projects is that public golf can be affordable and also be great. And I think if you look at the president's history with the places that he owns and runs, they're either elite private places or the places that you can get on as a member of the public, they're quite expensive. And I don't think it's much of an extrapolation to think, okay, Trump overtakes East Potomac, which is the most heavily trafficked of the three courses. He does some sort of plan where they redo the court, even if they're able to execute that. And when, you know, what's the timeline? How would that happen? Nobody knows anything about that. But would he make them $60? My thought is he equates higher prices with elite, exclusive, the kind of thing that, you know, he associates himself with. As I wrote in my column, like, he's not redoing the East Wing ballroom to have Boys and Girl Clubs event there, right? Like, he's doing it to be, this is where the elite gather and we're excluding people. That's not what National Links Trust is about. So I think there are the short-term questions are very important for those of us who want to get out there and play, because then we'd have to redirect our advocation elsewhere, Maryland, Virginia, whatever. But the long-term questions are far more important, because what we want in this city are places where golf is welcoming. It's welcoming to communities that often are excluded simply because of the price. I think National Links Trust has its head and its heart in the right place. And I'm not sure, courses run by the administration or the Trump Organization after that would be in the same spot.
Where it stands today, we're recording this on December 23rd. This news really broke about a week ago, maybe a little bit more. The 45 days from when they initially notified National Links Trust that they were, I forget the language, but issuing a determination of fault on their lease, that 45 days, which is typically a cure period that from the National Park Service, technically that's up. So it could happen any day. From your reporting, how likely do you think that is going to happen?
Well, it's odd to me that it didn't happen on December 18th, which is our interpretation was the end of the 45 days. So it's very much a feeling of limbo right now that, yes, it could happen at any point. And I think the frustrating part for National Links Trust is, can you outline what a path forward is here? And there may be a path forward that could be some sort of compromise. Okay, Trump is interested in particular in East Potomac because that's what he sees as he flies from the White House to Joint Base Andrews in his helicopter. Like, it flies right over that piece of property. And you can see, like, I mean, anybody who's played there, it's cool because it's not the greatest course in the world, but you can line up. It's the only course in the world where you can line up tee shots off the Washington Monument, right? Like, there's a very visceral, cool experience there. So would there be a compromise where National Links Trust could say, okay, we'll work with you on East Potomac and you tell us your vision and we'll, maybe there was a compromise, but we are still able to execute our plans with Rock Creek and Langston, the other two facilities. And those are great, great plans, particularly at Rock Creek, where they're going to take a really kind of forgotten and, a place that had in some ways been left to die and really liven it up, make it a good 9-hole course with a par 3 and a practice area and a cool clubhouse and first tee stuff, all those things in a part of the city that doesn't have access to golf. And then Langston, which, you know, has a deep history with the Black community here. I play it pretty much every Friday. It has so much potential. They've already improved so much about it. Like, it's frustrating that in this period of limbo, I think that National Links Trust doesn't have an idea of, like, is there a path forward or are we just waiting for the guillotine? All of that is just, you know, as I said, limbo. We're headed into the holidays. As you said, is January 1st the date when they're going to hear, or are they going to be able to continue to work with the Department of Interior and the National Park Service and find a way forward?
Do you think, so it's reported, and Mike was on a podcast just yesterday or maybe the day before with No Laying Up, and I listened to that, and he gave some more details, especially the bit about the administration reached out to National Links Trust earlier this year, and at some point, you know, it was over the summer, National Links Trust presented this plan to potentially work with the administration. They brought in Fred Ridley, Tiger Woods, a couple other folks to try to create kind of a go-between and an advisory board where maybe they could help have the administration help them cut through red tape, since they already knew that the administration had expressed interest in these properties. My question for you is, Do you think that was ever even a chance? Or do you think the administration from day one, the moment that Trump won the election, kind of the wheels started going in motion that this was their plan all along and National Links Trust never had a chance to stay part of it?
I mean, I'd be speculating. I'm not sure. I think National Links Trust was really smart to come up with some sort of kind of intentional path forward that might get the president and the administration's attention in terms of involving big names, Fred Ridley from Augusta National, whether Tiger really wanted to be involved or not, that's a good get. But like Seth Waugh, people from the golf community that the president would, he knows who these people are and it would get his attention. And something flashy like that, that could appease the administration, but allow National Links Trust to go forward with their work. I think being progressive was smart on NLT's side. Whether this was just predetermined on day one of the administration because Trump had seen the properties seen East Potomac from the air during his first administration, I'm not sure. I know that he has great interest in golf and he owns golf courses. He's developed golf courses. He's involved some of the highest level architects in the game to redo, Gil Hance redid the former Doral in outside Miami. Like he fancies himself as an aficionado of this stuff. I think National Links Trust was smart to be like, let's present them with an idea that might get their attention that we're serious about these projects, but not cede control of them if there was a path forward. I just don't know if your question is, was it predetermined that the administration was just going to elbow everybody else out of the way? I don't know that. I think National Links Trust was smart to say, well, let's make it more difficult for them to elbow us out of the way and actually maybe present a plan that they thought was like pretty intriguing. It was a smart move on their part.
So you said you play these courses regularly. You mentioned, I think I saw somewhere maybe in a tweet or something that you played Langston just on Friday. Did you get a chance to check in with the folks at the clubhouse or anything? What's the tenor or the mood over there?
No, I didn't. And in fact, it was like a really wild day. It was pouring like 5 minutes before I got in the parking lot. And we were the only people out there, my buddy and I. I do play there pretty much every Friday. And I think there's, again, just like the limbo is very, very difficult for anybody. If you work at a place where, oh, our layoff's coming, or, are we going to close a branch, or, there's something kind of swirling out there with more questions than answers, it creates an uneasiness. And, I've lived in DC more than 20 years. I've played these courses for that entire time. I see the same faces for years over time in the clubhouse, working, the pro shop, all that kind of stuff. And if that's your livelihood and your life, like this is a period of great uncertainty. And again, you're heading into the holidays, not knowing if this happens, what is my tomorrow? Like, that's not just for me, the golfer, the consumer, that's for the people who tend to these places and have pride in what Langston is and was and will become. And that's true for East Potomac and Rock Creek, which is closed right now because they've started the work. Like they're making progress. And I think anybody who plays these courses has seen over the last 5 years, the incremental growth. When they really get their hands on it, when they really get the shovel in the dirt, these guys know what they're doing. It would be, I think, the people who play these places regularly and who work there understand that it would be just awesome to see these projects through to fruition, where you get Gil Hance redoing Rock Creek, you get Bo Weller, who used to work for Tiger Designs, doing Langston, and you get Tom Doak with his hands on East Potomac, getting back to the original Walter Travis design and making it a reversible course, which would be like super fun and unique and potentially a destination and a model for other cities to say, look, we can have these really creative, neat places that are attractive to people both in town every week, but people who come to town and want to play a cool spot that's not going to cost them $300. Like, it's such a great mission. And it would just be, to me, like, borderline tragic if it was just kind of elbowed aside because someone's ego it gets involved.
Yeah. What about in the Washington Post newsroom? You and Rick Mace has also done some great reporting on this. He's done a couple articles. I'm kind of curious, you know, either between you and him or others throughout, you know, the Washington Post, does the newspaper view this, or people in the news industry, I should say, like, view this as a lot of folks like me and my peers that kind of lump this in with everything that's going on else with some of these ego-driven tactics of the administration, whether it's Trump sticking his name in the Kennedy Center or even today's announcement with the Navy ships named after himself and him just wanting to stick his name and leave some kind of legacy everywhere around this town?
Well, I think that's why it's a story for us. It is a story for our sports department, for Rick, who's done really good reporting on it, because it involves golf. But I think for the paper and the website, it's another brick in the what is the administration doing to the citizens of Washington, D.C.? And that extends to, you know, sending National Guard troops in the summer that are still here wandering around town, you know, raking leaves, basically, under the idea that they're protecting us. It extends to the Kennedy Center. You know, we're in this odd spot, as I said much earlier, that, you know, people around the country, I think, think it's kind of cute that we whine about not having voting representation in Congress. But there's 700,000 people in this country that have different representation than everybody else. And we don't have a senator that we can elect, and we don't have a rep who is in Congress and can vote in committees. Is that a small thing to people in California or Minnesota or Alabama? Sure. It's a big thing when you live here. So I don't think it's over-dramatizing it at all to say that this action by the administration is an extension of reminding us that we're less than full citizens here. And that doesn't mean that if we had a senator that they'd be kicking and screaming about public golf. Like, that might not be a priority for that person, but at least we would have the right to decide, hey, we elected you. We're over here saying this is an important thing. Can you help us keep the federal government's hands off of are the things that are within the district boundaries. Now, it is important to remember that while the courses are inside the district's lines, they are on federal land. They're on National Park Service land, and that's controlled by the Department of Interior. So it's not ours per se, but, you know, National Lakes Trust did go through a vetting and a bid process and had to present their plan and beat out other potential suitors to win the lease and be granted the right to work with the National Park Service. In the best case scenario, Alex, like, and this is like pie in the sky stuff, what if the administration could help break down some of the bureaucratic red tape that involves National Lakes Trust dealing with the Park Service, which is hard? You know, it's the Park Service has a lot to manage and can't just concentrate on the district's golf courses. But what if the administration said, hey, no, we like your plan. We want to help you move forward more quickly. Like, that's a dream. It doesn't seem to be on the table right now, but I would love for somebody in the administration to really look at what NLT is doing and say, they've actually got a pretty good plan here. How can we help them?
Yeah. Last question for you, because I know we have a short amount of time here. But so let's hypothetically say this does happen and Trump takes over the golf courses. And maybe this is more for a political journalist. I don't know. But you can answer this. I'm likely way better than I can. What happens down the road? Like, let's forget even the midterms. Let's assume that Trump's out of office in 3 years and there's either a more moderate Republican or there's a Democrat in office. Obviously, the golf courses in D.C. will not likely be a big priority. There's a lot of other things to address and or undo potentially from this administration. But if they wanted to, you know, if whatever happens over the next 3 years related to these golf courses, if Trump takes them over and he's in the middle of progress, whether he's done renovating one, two, or three of them, or he's in the process thereof, you know, what happens at if they say, you know what, no, you guys are not allowed to do this? Do they then cancel that lease? And then it just becomes this political thing every 4 years for, and then golf courses are involved.
I mean, you could extrapolate it that way, that it just get kind of ping pongs back and forth, which is kind of silly. You know, I think there's a real question about, you know, what is the timeline? Like, so there's essentially 3 years left of this administration. Could you even redo Langston to the extent that Trump apparently wants to do it in that time frame when you don't have a plan in place right now? And think about that piece of property. It's not just the golf course there. There's public parkland that people use for big picnics and events. If you ever go out there, it's like the Tour de France on some weekends with how much biking goes on there. This is a part of the community. And would Trump blow out the road and extend the golf course to the edge of the river? How could you do that? You know, as I think the theme, Alex, yes, is like, we have no idea because no one has any idea. They're not replacing a plan with a plan. They're replacing a plan with control. What comes next on, as you said originally, like on day one, we don't know, but we also don't know on day 365 or 750 what it would look like. And then would a new administration say what you did was unfair? Would there even be a National Links Trust to turn it back over to? Like, I don't think anybody wants it to be some sort of tennis match where it's going back and forth, which is part of the unsettling nature of the whole thing, that you don't know anything about the future in the near term or the long term.
Yep, well said. Well, listen, I appreciate you taking some time. We're 2 days before Christmas. You grab some time, but this is high on every golfer's mind. I think not just around the DC area, but even increasingly around the country. So, thank you very much, Barry, for taking some time and for writing about this in the Washington Post.
Thanks, Alex, and I appreciate you putting some attention on it as well.
Absolutely.